Yes, we know what time it is. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Let's waste no time because we got so much to get into and head out to the Wade4.com hotline. Welcome in our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick. Make sure you check out the Joe Patrick on Football podcast for all your Falcons needs. Joe, I've heard a lot from Flowery Branch this week about how to prepare for a quarterback like Josh Allen, league MVP, how to stop him, how to get him off his game. To me, Joe, it's more about how much can the Falcons offense and the running game stay on the field, bleed the clock, hopefully get a lead, and keep him off the field.
Yeah, no, you're totally right, Chris. I mean, I think that's a great point where you can't go into a game like this and just expect the defense to frankly be able to just kind of hold the Bills to the way that the Patriots were there on Sunday Night Football. So is it possible that that could happen? I guess, but you're totally right. Like, you know, this is one of those games where you come into the season thinking you're going to have, you know, a top 10-ish type of offense and be prolific in that sense. And this would be the kind of game where that gets put to the test and you got to show that. And what the Falcons team hasn't been able to do enough so far this season is score touchdowns, you know, and they were finally able to do that against Washington, scoring four touchdowns there in that game. And you've got to do that. You've got to be able to move the ball, and you cannot settle for field goals in a game like this. Safe enough to say for Falcons fans, given the kicking situation this team has gone through 4 weeks, but regardless, you got to be able to put up points. And at some point you're going to have to, match, you know, with what Josh Allen can put out there on the field.
When it comes to defending the other weapons that they do have, how do you feel like the young, talented secondary matches up with the likes of Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid going over the middle?
You know, based on what we've seen so far this season from the Falcons defense, I mean, I think that you have to say that they match up relatively well, especially if they get A.J. Terrell back. I mean, I think that that's going to be a big one this week in particular, because a receiver like Keon Coleman, it's kind of like the Tet McMillan matchup a couple weeks ago against the Panthers, where, Tet McMillan didn't really go off, but that was not really a favorable matchup for the Falcons in that game. A big-bodied receiver going up against, for lack of a better term, you know, a lot of short kings back there in that Falcons secondary when A.J. Terrell's not there. A.J. Terrell's the guy who can, you know, he's got the length and can match up against those bigger receivers. And so for a receiver like Keon Coleman, his return is going to be huge. Chris, I thought the interesting thing that was kind of talked about in the press conference yesterday was, you know, that they feel like they've got to, they can't like give too much respect to this Bills offense, despite the fact that they are obviously extremely talented and Josh Allen is, you know, maybe the best quarterback going right now. You've got to test him. You've got to make him make the incredible throws that he can make, but you cannot just kind of play passive against a quarterback like him, because if you do that, then they will just go up and down the field on you. You have to provide some resistance and kind of, you know, man up, frankly, like, and kind of literally and figuratively in terms of like in the coverage scheme. I think they're going to have to play some man coverage that will allow them to then kind of key in on James Cook, which the Patriots did really well. Caden Ellis made mention of that yesterday when they spoke. And, you know, Caden Ellis has got a brother on the Patriots team, and he said that he's going to be doing quite a bit of consulting with him this week on how they played them and what might work for the Falcons defense on Monday night.
When it comes to the game plan for them on offense, if Mooney still isn't 100% or if he can't go, do we expect more of Casey Washington or maybe even Kyle Pitts getting more involved? What do you expect?
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting, Chris. I kind of think that we will see it, like, of the options you gave me there. I would think that they would go more Kyle Pitts and Charlie Warner and basically play in a lot more of their base personnel, which they've been doing a ton this year. They've actually been more of a base personnel team, or when I say base, like I mean like a 12 personnel set, basically, or 21 that gets another defense in their base defense. They've been much more of that, you know, on that end of the spectrum this year than they have been, where they were on the complete total opposite end of it, being like the most, the team that used 11 personnel the most really under Zach Robinson last year. So I think with what Zach Robinson showed against the Commanders was an ability to come out in that 12 personnel. And then you can have Charlie Warner in sidecar next to Michael Penix in a shotgun look with a bunch set of, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and then, okay, maybe you do have a Casey Washington out there, but then you've got Kyle Pitts on the other side, and you kind of force some teams' hands. So we started to see some of those looks from Zach Robinson. What we didn't see in that game that I think they can do is come out in those kind of looks and then motion Bijan into the backfield, into more of a pistol look, and then be able to run the ball if you get the favorable looks from the defense in those situations. So I think there's a lot of manipulation that's still available for Zach Robinson in terms of what he wants to do. And make no mistake, if Darnell Mooney can't go, then you are going to see, probably a good amount of Casey Washington. You might see some Gadaro Hodge, although he's, got his own injury situation that he's battling to try to get back this week. But I think that there will be an opportunity for Zach Robinson to really get creative with these pieces on offense.
What do you make of the team's issues with teams gushing them in the return game?
Yeah, the return game has been a problem, for this team, both in, I think, their own returns, although they've gotten some good ones. And I think every team around the NFL, Chris, is kind of going through a little bit of volatility on this. It's like, it's not like you're just going to be perfect on every single one, whether it's coverage or returning it yourself. Like you're just going to, have some breaks that fall your way and some that don't. But I think it's obvious that this Falcons kickoff unit just has not been consistent enough. And obviously the Panthers had a field day with them with that knuckleball kick. And I do wonder how easy it would be or how feasible it is for other teams to kind of like scout that and then be able to, have one of their kickers be able to kick that kind of thing. I don't know if it's that easy to just be like, hey, come up with a knuckleball kick for their kickers this week. But I feel like every team around the NFL should be having one of their, either their kicker or their punter, somebody be able to kick like that, because they certainly do seem tough to field. And it can make a huge, if you don't field those kicks clean, then you're at a massive disadvantage, because then the blocking doesn't align, which kind of you have to have some nice timing with now. With the way that the kickoff is set up between the blockers and when the ball carrier is going to be coming through. And if you don't get that timing right, then you're like really stuck. You can be, well behind the 20-yard line. So, and that's going to be so important. The Falcons have not had the field advantage for, several of these games. And they've got to make sure that they've got every possible advantage in this one going up, as we talked about, such a prolific offense that the Bills have.
Speaking of which, how important is it for Raheem and Zach Robinson to have clean games themselves?
I'm sorry, I broke up right there, Chris.
Yeah, I was saying, speaking off of what you just said, how important is it for Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson themselves to have clean games on the sidelines?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think that like the win against the Commanders took a little bit of that stress off. That was kind of like a very high stress situation coming into that, coming off of that Carolina game. But I think you want to, like, again, we've talked about this, Chris, but it's one of those things where it's never, for the Falcons team, it's never been about like, can they compete with some of these teams? And I think that like in this situation, this would be one of those games where the Falcons kind of step up and play up to the level of their competition. Like last year, they beat the Eagles and they played the Chiefs at home in one of these primetime games to, a game they should have won, really, or could have won with if they get the flag that they really should have gotten in the end zone there. So they can play up to these teams, but it's like, can you carry the positive, the good performances, can you kick on and have an even better performance after you kind of overachieved? And they obviously did that in that Week 4 game against the Commanders heading into the bye. I think at the bye might be a little bit nice for them to like reset and not kind of have too much of that overconfidence, I guess is the way you could say it. But I think the Falcons are going to be up for this one. And I think that, Raheem and Zach Robinson, it's an opportunity for them to really show that they can, have this team playing at the top level of the NFL. And then if they can prove that, then it will just be, can we continue that and show that we finally have the consistency that other teams have as well.
How do you feel like the team handles the noise of, Buffalo's coming off of their first loss of the season, they're going to be hungry, it's going to feel like a trap game here? Raheem Morris, I feel like, does a pretty good job of not letting that stuff permeate through Flowery.
I think so. And, it's hard to really tell because, you can't really ask those questions about how they are actually thinking about it, because the response that you get is, every game is a big game. Every game is a big game feel for us. But to kind of go back to what I was just saying, it's like, you know, I was just reflecting on this, Chris. Like, last year they beat the Eagles. Like I said, that game against the Chiefs, they were right there. And they also are, like, losing to the Panthers and the Saints, you know. And it's like, if you just win those games, then that puts you in good stead. But these are the games I think the team gets really excited for. And you got to think that, you know, they want to just, you know, put on a show for the people that are watching, you know, that are sitting at home on Monday night. And obviously they always want to put on a show for the fans that are in that stadium. But, you know, just for the people, you know, they've got friends around the league who are watching them. And I'm sure that a lot of those guys felt like their reputations were, you know, somewhat tarnished because of how bad that Panthers game was. So this is the perfect time for them to go out there and make amends. And I do think that some of those messages are going to be said by Raheem Morris and helping to get these guys up in some of the team meetings.
Just from a fan base perspective, because I know coaches don't think like this, Joe, but certainly fans do. I know I do. It would seem to be something when you have a quarterback like Michael Penix Jr. going up against a quarterback like Josh Allen, you want to see the sexy plays because both of those guys are so athletic. They have such big arms that you want to see explosive plays down the field. But the one thing I've been preaching is the way that we started off this conversation is the way that we'll finish it. You don't want, ideally, in Zach Robinson and Raheem Morris's perfect world, you don't want Michael Penix Jr. launching the ball down the field 12 to 15 times. That's not the formula for success, even if you're going, unless it becomes a shootout naturally, that's never going to be right. The game plan going in against a quarterback like Josh Allen.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that, like, if you looked at that Vikings game, for example, that was one where, you know, the game state, that's a term we use in soccer, but like the game state of that was one where you felt like your defense was carrying you and really the job of the offense was to, you know, put up some points, obviously, but not to screw it up, like not turn the ball over and just kind of ruin the advantage that your defense is giving you. Now, like, listen, if the game turns out anything like that one on Monday night, then the Falcons will be, you know, counting their lucky stars and certainly praising their defense. But, yeah, it's just like, you know, you just got to roll with the punches to see how the game goes. What I'm curious to see, Chris, is whether the Bills go back to something that I think has kind of flummoxed Michael Penix so far this year, which is those two high safety looks. I was frankly really surprised that Washington didn't do that. Now, it is a defensive scheme that, you know, under Dan Quinn is a traditional, like, cover three style of scheme. And I thought that Michael Penix really took advantage of it. And I will be interested to see exactly how Buffalo comes out. Because if they do come out with those two high safeties, you know, like the rule of thumb there is to take your underneath stuff and not to try to force it downfield, which we saw Penix not doing earlier this season. But can he actually be effective? I don't think that even when he was not throwing the interceptions, it still felt like the offense was not as, like, clicking the way that it should. And for it to be clicking, you've got to get the running game going, which hasn't always been the case this year, although it has gotten going really good at times. So, yeah, they're going to have to really rely on kind of the nuts and bolts of what makes this team go. And Raheem Morris said it, like, we're a running football team behind the best running back in football, what he calls the best player in football, and a really good offensive line. So I think that they're going to be leaning on those guys once again for sure. And then anything you get from Michael Penix on top of that, it's kind of, you know, obviously you're going to need him to make some plays, but, you know, yeah, it's like icing on the cake almost if you can hit some of those downfield shots.
Yeah, it's just I don't want fans to think that this is going to be throw the ball downfield to Drake London 15 times for 185 yards. If that happens, great, but that's right, certainly right. Not going to be the game plan. Joe, great stuff as always. We'll chat next week. We'll see if we're talking about another big dub.
Hope so. All right. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.